Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the next episode of the Get In Our Home series. This is the series designed to help home builders, homeowners, renovators, interior designers, and everybody in between to get inspiration and guidance from industry professionals, but also homeowners themselves. My name is Peter Kilmartin, and in this episode, we travel down to County Limerick to meet Anna and Leslie and their stunning newly built home. Don't forget that you can also see this home on the Get In Our Home YouTube channel. Trust me, the barrel roof in this home is absolutely stunning, so you're going to want to check that out. This was such a good chat with the guys, and they really do have some valuable advice. The guys actually went direct build or contractor-led route. I can't thank the guys enough. It was just such a really, really lovely time, and their house is absolutely stunning. So, Anna and Leslie, thank you very, very much. Without further ado, I started by asking the guys about where their home is located.
We're right on the banks of the Shannon Estuary, so it's kind of got the best of both worlds. We've got Limerick and Kerry and water.
And you're a Limerick lady?
I am a hybrid. My parents are from Kerry, so I was brought up as a Kerry person. And I've actually seen a tweet recently where it says, Dinn is too nice to be in Limerick, it should be in Kerry. I agree with that wholeheartedly, and all the locals hate me for it.
And so did you grow up around this area?
I grew up here, but I will always be a blow-in. I came here when I was two. And 38 years later, I will always be a blow-in no matter what. And I'm regularly reminded of that. So yeah, it's. I grew up here, spent my childhood, my teens here.
Yeah. Like very close to this site?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, very, very close, yeah.
Brilliant. And when you were younger, did you always think, oh, someday I'd love to have a house on top of that hill? Or
never, you know? Never. We were always, me and my friends, we were getting out of Glynn. Getting out of Glynn, because there was nothing here when we were young. Do you know, it was pier for swimming and that was it.
Isn't that a mad turn of events though, to have that switch, you know?
Wasn't me, it was Leslie.
I get the blame.
Yeah, so tell me, so how did you guys meet or what happened there? Tinder.
Tinder was not even in existence when we met.
If Tinder existed, I wouldn't have been on it.
Yeah, so we met in college. We both went to Limerick, UL, for college, and we moved into the same house one summer and that was it.
Brilliant, brilliant. And you mentioned then that you went to Dublin and you worked in Dublin for a couple of years.
Yes, we got jobs in Dublin and we moved on up. And we lived in Maynooth for almost 10 years, was it? 9-10 years?
About that.
Yeah.
Lived the big city life.
Kind of, yeah. In a small village that had massive traffic problems.
Yeah.
Had two kids, sold the house and decided, what are we going to do now?
And like, it's really interesting. Like, was there a point there where you had a conversation where like, okay, we're definitely leaving Maynooth. Like, we can't do this anymore. Or were you thinking about staying in Maynooth? Or, you know, what was that conversation like? You know, because there's probably people here that have, you know, relocated to their jobs with COVID and stuff and are thinking, maybe we could build down the country. What was your conversation like?
I think we were undecided. Anna probably remembers it different than I do, but we were looking to rent a house for a year after we sold the house, to give ourselves time to just figure out what we wanted to do. But finding a place to rent became just a pain. So then we just quickly made the decision to move. Then.
It was made in one weekend, wasn't it?
After not finding a place to rent for a few months, I suppose, then we were just...
Yeah. It was, well, now we were lucky we had the option to build here. My parents had land in various places, so we were lucky that we had various options open to us. And they'd always said if we ever wanted to, we could, but it was never on the radar, ever. It was just one weekend, we were kid-free, we went to look at a house and said, what are we doing? We can do this at home for far less.
Wow.
When I say home, I mean here. We call it home, I suppose.
Yeah. But was that COVID that gave you that push?
No, that was
way before COVID.
Nearly eight years ago.
Yeah. Okay.
So since we've moved home, a lot more people have moved home.
Yes. And okay, so then talking with you, let's fast forward a bit then. So you decide you're moving back to Glynn. Mm-hmm. You've got the Donegal man coming south. What made you decide to build a house?
I suppose when we decided to move, we decided we were never going to not build, I think, once we decided we're moving down here. Would you agree?
Yeah, well, we knew pretty much moving here that building was probably going to be the best option. Because there would be a limited, unless you move into maybe Limerick City, there would be a limited supply of houses to buy here.
I suppose, yeah.
Houses are in massive demand here, so when anything does come for sale, it tends to go quickly. And what does go for sale tends to need a lot of work anyway, so you're looking at a renovation.
Yeah.
You know, so it's six of one, half dozen of another.
And did you know any issues with planning around this area? Did you have any concerns there? You know,
didn't really have concerns here. We initially had gone for planning in Kerry, actually, just over the border. And we were lucky we had planning sorted out for there. There was very, very easy. Even though we're not technically local.
So sorry, just to confirm, this is a different site than
Harbert,
where we are.
Yeah. And we decided that wasn't home.
Why?
It was a few miles away, and we decided if we're going to live beside my parents, we may as well live within spitting distance, as I say. So they're just down there.
and was that a huge waste of time, or was that a learning curve?
No, it was a learning curve, wasn't it?
About a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you could say it was a waste of time, but that's just
adding
regrets where they don't need to be added.
So,
it was a learning curve. We knew we weren't going to be building the same house.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't the same size.
So. The site just wasn't right.
Yeah.
I mean, depends how you look at it. Like, but I grew up on the farm in the countryside, and we didn't walk to the shop, but I suppose that's one thing I like is this is a fantastic site because it's, you think you're in the middle of the country, but the town is 2 minutes walk away, you know?
Yeah.
And I didn't mind to be driving to go to the shop from it.
Yeah, you've kind of got the best of both worlds, Walk to the pub. Well, the pub more like,
When they're open. So yeah, I mean, it was the planning itself was easy.
So yeah, okay. So you go, okay, wait a second. We're not living here. We're living this side here. And tell me about that process then. So
process was complicated when my brother decided to move home as well. Then there was two houses being built. So first of all, we'd pick which site was going to which house.
Yes.
So that took a while of conversations, but it was just sort of letting everybody figure out what it is they were looking for more than anything else. And then we were lucky enough that we had a chap who's very good at planning applications. He had done my parents' planning many, many years ago, and he was still working. So he did it for us, and he's very well regarded in the planning departments. So he knew what was needed to get it over the line.
Yeah.
We were slightly complicated, the fact that there's two sites and they would be classed as backland development because one house was going to be behind another. So we had to put in planning in a certain way so that we were going to be guaranteed to get the planning over.
And did you go with an architect? Did you go with just directly with an engineer?
Very lucky to have an architect in the family.
Brilliant.
So my cousin, Suzanne, is an architect, and she took the design actually for both houses. So she knew what she was designing for the spaces. So they were going to complement each other but still be completely unique to each other.
What's it like? I always find it really interesting when a family member is involved in a build. What's it?
If you think the house is big now, you should have seen the first draft.
Yeah, that's for sure.
That's what it was like.
We had to size it down a lot. Suzanne had a lot of fun with it, which I think was important. But
I always think it's interesting. Like, what's it like with a family member? Like, you know, if you don't know somebody, you'd be very honest with them and say, listen, I don't like that. I'm not happy with that. How does that work, that dynamic with a family member? Did you find things awkward or... You know, especially for you, Lizzie, because she's actually your relation. Did you feel like you might have stayed quiet, or were you able to have that, you know, listen?
I'd say I probably could do it maybe better than Anna could because of that.
Yeah.
She was okay to deal with, yeah. I mean, once we could get her to just make the house a wee bit smaller.
She will be watching this.
But in terms of design, it's such a stunning home.
Yeah.
Like the barrel roof and the upside down feature. It's a really unique home in that sense. Was that something that really appealed to you when you seen the plans and drawings? I'm sure that was quite exciting.
Well, one of the first things I said to her, my memory isn't that great now anymore, but it was the house has to fit the site as opposed to plonking a building onto a site, because it's a small hilled site. So we knew there was going to have to be a little bit of creativity going into it. And also the fact that we are close to the village and there are houses around us and my parents are nearby, so it kind of had to fit. That was the big thing for me. We wanted it to work for the family.
Yeah, and your parents, were they looking at the drafts and going, a barrel roof? You know what I mean? Why not build a square box then? You know.
They've been very supportive. No, in fairness, they do. They've been through the building process themselves.
Okay.
They designed their own house that they're living in now. But they were, like, we passed everything by them, in fairness. What do you think of this? But they were like, it's your own decision. It's whatever you want yourselves. And it took me a while to kind of go, we're ruining a beautiful field. But
there's a beauty in the sense that you are so close to home, mm-hmm. and you are where you grew up, you know.
Yeah.
And then your kids are going to experience that too, which is, I love that.
Yeah.
Self-building versus building. Why go with a builder?
Because we're not builders.
We're not builders in full-time jobs. I mean, just don't think it's practical.
Was there ever a conversation around cutting costs to go to self-build route?
No. We knew from the minute we were planning even to design a house that was going to be a contractor, the building contractor we went with, because we don't have any contact in the trade.
No.
And we both work full-time. You know, it made sense to us.
Yeah.
There's plenty of things we'll do ourselves, but not the house. When the house is finished, you can see there's jobs we're doing outside.
And how did you get the builder? Did you find that hard? Were you asking local lads for recommendations? Or do you know? Because there's a lot of stories about cowboy builders and stuff. How did you manage that? Because that's probably the biggest decision you have to make. Because you kind of makes the rest of them then, like, you know.
I don't know, once we got an email with a few different local guys and
we kind of had a good feeling about the builder we went with.
Yeah.
Even before we had chosen them.
I mean, we met with 2 or 3 builders.
Three
we met and then just had a conversation, and before we even had planning, no, we met with Michael.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just got a good feeling about him.
And he's built a lot of houses in the area, so we were able to go in, like even his sister's house is up the road, so we were able to go straight in there and see various features that we were thinking about that he had
already done
yeah. there,
yeah.
Practicing on his sister's house.
That's brilliant though. And did you find that the quotes were quite similar from all the builders, or was there ones that were spiking way higher than others?
They were all fairly similar.
They were fairly similar, but when we drilled into Michael's one, it was well priced out.
Mm-hmm. He really thought about it.
He wasn't the cheapest, but he actually had covered things better.
So when we sent all of the quotes sheets saying, can you tell us the exact, each line item, can you split out the price as per things, like, you know, the zinc roof and various elements. And I think he was the only one that had actually priced more or less everything, bar, I think it was the plumbing and the electrician, were the PC sums, so to speak. But we were able to get a quote from the electrician.
You know, when you were going for a quote, did you have to get a bit of quantities from a QS to go to the bidders? How did you, obviously you had an architect in the family, did she help with?
So our architect is also a qualified quantity surveyor. We had told her what our budget was and she was designing the house with that in mind. Oh, so we didn't get a bill of quantities. We pondered it on occasion, whether we would or not. And at that point we went back to the quotes that we had and we said, right, give us the various line items. And it was glaringly obvious at that point then that the builder, Michael, had priced out things that others hadn't. They just had estimates in and we knew that's where the danger period is going to be. Particularly when estimates were quite lower than his price.
That was
it was a no-brainer at that point.
That makes sense. So you give him the green light, you go in for planning. How did planning go on this site?
Oh, we had planning at that stage, but
we had planning at that stage.
So we got planning, then we went and we got the quotes.
Okay.
So that we didn't have to, you know, we weren't going chopping and changing things.
Yes. Yeah.
But the planning went very straightforward. I'm from Glynn, I grew up here, I went to school here. You know, we even got married here, so we had lots of letters from here.
We were already living here.
We were renting a house. We had kids and schools in the area, so we were able to show. And because the house is actually built inside the village perimeter, so inside the 50-kilometer zone, inside the town zone, we didn't need to show local needs, even though we were able to show local needs. Yeah. But it was irrelevant because that's where they want people to build.
Yeah.
If you're inside the town limits, you'll get planning permission without local needs.
Brilliant. And did you? Past first time,
we did have a pre-planning meeting because of the scenario with regard to my brother building as well, going from planning at a similar time.
And did that help you, that meeting? Did you learn anything from it?
We learned that they knew that they liked the house, the design. They weren't afraid of it. They really liked the design features. They did ask us to drop the ridge height, which we kind of knew ourselves anyway, to keep it more in keeping with the houses around the area, which was fine. That was about the only change that they kind of suggested at the pre-planning meeting.
Yeah, they just commented on
that was it. They commented on the floodplains because there's a small river that runs down the back of the hill here. I mean, if it ever floods here, the whole of Glynn Village will be submerged. It will not exist anymore. Yeah. So, but we were able to go back and show that no, this is not in a floodplain.
Just a random question.
Without it, yeah.
Is it harder to get insurance because you're so close to the river?
No. You're not in a floodplain, so it's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's never flooded, so it's fine.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so you get planning, you go into the build process. What was that process like? You know, did it start off all guns blazing? Was there a lot, you know, was it a lot to do with the start? Were a lot of questions to answer? Or was it kind of like, here's the plan, Mr. Builder, see you in 12 months' time? Or, you know, what was that like?
You had lots of questions every day for Michael.
I asked lots of questions, yeah.
He liked answering them too.
We took our time. We didn't rush it. So, I mean, between planning and starting to build, it was a year and a half, I'd say.
Yeah.
We took our time just and got the various quotes off a few different guys and then went with Reedy's in the end.
Yeah. And it was down to availability of the builders too. You know, I mean, they were busy at that time. You know, they were very, very busy. So it was all down to when they could start. Yeah.
And even though you have planning, like, I mean, when we were talking to the builder and the engineer at that stage, we were yet to decide, are you block building, are you doing timber frame or ICF or whatever, like, so I mean.
Well, and what did you go in the end?
We went with block.
And was the builder, did he have influence in that? Was he saying we should
probably a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
We'd asked it as advice. He'd done both and he just felt block was probably the way to go for us, really.
Yeah.
I mean, but it was, we just sat, on that one we asked around, but we literally told him to get cracking. They cut the hay first. The field was needed to have its hay cut.
And that was the last day you ever got off.
Yep.
With the roof, guys, is there much that has to be done structurally to support that? Or what's the difference between that and the normal roof? Forgive me if that's a really stupid
question. Zinc roof. The curve.
The curve.
Not a big difference, I suppose, but there's a steel frame on this one, right? Yeah. You could do it without it, I suppose, but...
And wouldn't it be a lot cheaper to do it without that roof?
It's steel?
Like, say, if you went with a normal
pitched roof,
like, yeah.
A bit of a cheaper, right?
Yeah. would it be, yeah.
We don't know because we didn't price it normal roof.
Okay, it was always going to be the curve.
Yeah, but that curve roof would be quite expensive, yeah.
Yeah. Right. And we went with zinc. Yeah.
That's more maybe to do with the zinc than anything else.
Yeah. Right, then that's the design of the structure.
You could save probably, I don't know, 20 or 30,000 if you didn't go with zinc and went with another material, but. You probably get, my feeling is you get that back because the zinc should have a longer life.
Right, yeah. Right, yeah.
So you might save the money now, but you'll be re-roofing sooner than...
And who wants to re-roof?
So. Yeah.
Like, I mean, and we're also in a coastal area now. It's a bit away from the Atlantic coast, but there is salt in the air. So we have to be mindful of that too.
Yeah, yeah. And like, even with the roof itself, that 20, 30 grand is probably negligible over the course of 30, 40 years. When you think
exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
If you divide it out. Like.
Yeah.
To be honest, the curved roof was staying, but there was no...
I think that's important. Like, we spoke to a couple of architects and they'd always say, you know, what's the point in designing this lovely house and then cutting back everything so it just becomes a normal house?
Yeah.
You know, you may as well keep something that keeps it unique to you.
Suzanne did say that. She'd done this before for others and that they all disappeared.
Yeah.
All of the curves disappeared.
Yeah.
So we're her favourite clients.
Yeah.
She has to say that.
Just give me a rough timeline. So when did you break ground and when did you get it?
It was
2 years.
2 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
no,
two years.
We had
COVID in the middle of it. Yeah.
COVID hit the middle of it.
Yeah. So there was lockdowns and such downs. Yeah. Yeah.
And did COVID have a big hit on you?
6 months anyway.
Yeah. I mean, it had an impact. Yeah. I mean, there's no two ways about it. It had an impact. Yeah.
And even in terms of speed of things. Just
and the materials. I mean, we were lucky when it happened that certain things were done already. If they hadn't been done at that stage, we would have been facing further delays because materials would have been harder to come by. So we were at a point where it wasn't...
As impactful.
Yeah.
How did you find tradesmen and managing trades? What did you take Bidder's recommendation on everything, or was it you were finding guys as well, or how did that work?
We used the builder's recommendation on everything bar the plumber, and that's because we wanted to use a local plumber who has worked with him in the past, so they know each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we went with the plumber, but the plumber then was managed by the builder.
The builder managed it all.
Yeah.
We just told him who to use on the plumber side. Everything else we went with the builders.
And how up until the point, the kitchen and tiling and painting.
Yeah.
We organised ourselves.
And how did you find going through the builds? Did you find it strange coming and the builder were like doing things? Like, I always find it weird, like, because self-builder, he's there, he's making every single decision, he's really there. Like, what was it like for you? Like, was the builder ringing you the whole time saying, well, what do you think about this? What do you think of that? Or was he doing a lot of that himself? How does that work?
If he had a question, he rang us.
He rang, probably nearly rang every day, I would say, yeah.
Yeah, rang or he called up to the house that we were living in at the time. So if there was things like the slates to be picked, he'd bring up the samples and we'd pick them.
Right. So that was handy that you were quite close.
Yeah, we were just a mile away, so he was able to nip up, and it was actually on his route home, so it was very easy. He would call every day. If there was ever a question, he'd ask. He never just assumed. And half the time, the answer back from us was, well, what do you suggest?
And even if he thought something about the design maybe just didn't quite make sense to him, he'd ask. I mean, the living room, the partition between the living room and the kitchen was supposed to be about 1.5 meters that way, and he just didn't think it fitted the space. And when we came down and looked at it laid out on the ground, then we agreed with him, so we moved it.
He sprayed it out on the slabs to show us the size of the living room, and he was like, you're going to have trouble furnishing the space.
But because it's a different level floor, we couldn't have made that decision afterwards.
Yeah,
so he decided that, like, at foundation stage.
Wow.
He was thinking about what couches we were going to get.
Wow.
So he was he's really clued in, really knew what he was dealing with, and was thinking about it all the time. Like.
But that's the asset you can really get if you get a really good builder. Mm-hmm. You're not also paying for service, but you're paying for his experience.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know that you're getting that knowledge and wealth of experience, which is invaluable.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't have to ask those sort of questions, but he knew that if he didn't, we were going to probably either be disappointed or we'd need to change it.
Which would be more work for him anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was better to preempt it.
Tell me about your stairs.
Stairs. My stairs.
I absolutely love it. It's just, it's so unique. It's absolutely stunning. And I hope you don't paint it.
Well, Amanda says I have to paint it. Amanda Bones said we have to paint it. So the stairs, yeah. How do we even start that? So we were using the stairs person, that the stairs manufacturer that the builder recommends and uses on nearly all of his buildings. He's an artist, really, I think is the best. We've been to his workshop and it's just something else, seeing all the timber and everything. He's done everything, except he's never done a stairs like that before. So we had gone onto Pinterest. I had gone onto Pinterest and house and online, and I didn't want an open tread stairs because I didn't like them. I don't like stairs. I'm not good on stairs. I fall down stairs. ended up with an open tread stairs. I wanted the chunky look. I wanted the treads pushed in, really. I wanted to have it looking like it was the steel frame without the steel frame cast. And I wanted the staircase impact at the base of it without it being traditional, because it's obviously quite a contemporary space down there. So we went to him, showed him the photographs on the phone, and that's what he created.
What did he say?
I've never done that before. Sure, we'll see what we can do.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And that was it?
Anna showed him a few photographs.
We showed them.
And we talked about it. There was never a sketch.
Nope.
It was all in his head.
What a craftsman.
Oh, yeah. And he has a group of lads working for him that are, they're nice people. Like, they came in and...
Was that a local company?
Yeah, about 15, 20 minutes away.
Rathkeel, yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah,
outside the country.
Brilliant.
Countryside in the Rathkeel, yeah. We didn't know what was going to turn up on the day. We knew the treads were going to be deep and thick. We knew the base was going to be the way we wanted. We did not know what weight the strings were going to be, they were going to be. And that was as far as he could push them in. He'd never done it before. And it's exactly what we were looking for.
Wow. What a lucky guy to get, you know what I mean?
He wasn't afraid of it. Yeah.
Lucky, but it also, I think, I'm probably repeating myself, but the builder, Michael, he only works with good people, and I think that's reflected in that.
Yeah.
That's not to take away from the stairs guy, but Michael's recommendation to use this guy.
Yeah.
It gave us confidence.
You had that confidence.
Yes. We'd already been working with Michael for quite a while at that stage, and if he was saying to go there, well, then that was good enough.
Yeah, if Michael recommended something, we knew we weren't going to be let down by it.
Yeah. And then going through the build, was there any parts that you enjoyed? What was it that you were doing that was quite enjoyable? Because I know the interior design thing can be a lot of fun for some people.
I think we enjoyed the majority of it. Making the decisions was, I mean, seeing the progress. You don't want to talk about interiors. So once the house was built, I just point and tell him what to do, and he's quite happy to do it. Right, dear.
Sounds about right.
I can't pinpoint one particular thing that I liked. I liked seeing the stairs going in because I don't use ladders. So it meant I could actually get upstairs inside the house without having to walk all the way around out the back. So that was good. Just seeing the spaces come to life was cool. Yeah.
And what stage was the house like when you moved in? Was it like half semi-finished or were you in a mad rush to get in for Christmas? Or
no,
what time of year did you move in?
We did not put a rush in ourselves. We moved in June. Okay. We had made that decision. We did not want to be rushing in for a particular festive season or anything like that. So we moved in June. At the end was a mad rush, no matter what way it was going to be. We could have taken another 2 weeks and we'd still have been mad rushed to get in. You kind of reach that point where you just want to be in it. The house was painted and it was floored. We had cardboard on the windows for blinds in our bedroom. The other rooms had blinds. The kitchen was in. We didn't have a worktop for a week. That was it.
It was pretty finished.
It was pretty finished, yeah.
And what was that 2-3 week period like? Was it mayhem?
Really busy.
I remember my mom was asking me, what can we do to help? And I just rang her one day and I said, right, you can feed us for the next 2 weeks. Because I don't want to have to think about lunches for the kids or dinners for the kids and for ourselves. Just feed us.
What did she say?
She fed us every day for 2 weeks. And I think she looked forward to the day she didn't have to do it anymore. But that was a huge help. It meant we weren't going for takeaways. It meant we weren't just eating cereal for dinner. Because it's full on. Like, it was busy and you need to be able to focus on it.
A lot of back and forth between where you were and where you're moving stuff and yada, yada, yada.
I think that was one of the best feelings, was not driving up and down to the house.
Actually, do you know what? That was, I don't know if stressful was the right word, but it was just so busy up and down and up and down every day to check the progress and see what's going on. I was tired of driving up and down. And I was glad that we just stopped. Yeah.
How did the two lads like the new house?
They love it.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
It's hard to get a reaction out of them at the best of times.
Ah, but they know. You just knew about it.
The freedom. They love the freedom.
Yeah, but as soon as we were in here, it was like as if they'd been here for
ever.
Ages.
It feels like we've always been here.
They took us. They took to it. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. No. They knew the spaces, and I suppose they saw it growing out of the ground too. But it's like we've always been here.
And because they were quite a little bit older, did they have any involvement in the build? Did they make any decisions on their rooms or anything like that?
They were allowed to pick their rooms. They were allowed to pick their lights. Adam has sweet talked the garden designer into putting a climbing wall outside there. Mm-hmm. So there's a climbing wall on the garden design. Whether it'll ever happen.
It's easy for designer to put it in paper. Somebody has to put it in the wall.
We had the design fairly clear cut. I mean, at the end of the day, they'll be leaving us. We'll stay in here. And we did put like a den into the house where they could have their PlayStation and their friends over and put a glass.
It's great for them to have their own space as well.
Yeah. We did put a glass door in it so they can't hide though. So.
I never asked, what square foot is this house?
Big.
There was a few minor changes along the way, so I can't tell you exactly, but if I exclude the basement, you're about 3,300.
Yeah. You can tell. It is large. Were there any areas tried to build that you cut back on, or you tried to save a bit of money, or anything that, you tried to say, well, if we do this, we'll definitely save on X or Y or Z. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
So we decided to do the utility fit out ourselves, which meant we could have what's behind us done by a company.
None of that was after we started. Sort of by the time we'd started, we already pretty much figured out
how much we're going to spend,
what the builder was going to do, and what we were going to do ourselves afterwards.
Did the builder's price change at any point? Was there any extras or hidden surprises?
There was no hidden surprises.
Minimal.
Any few changes or pricing.
There were a lot of stuff we decided to do. So.
And they were priced and included in the next stage payment. Nothing was left to the very end.
Right.
So, the last stage payment was smaller than we expected.
Right.
Kind of surprisingly for some reason, but it ended up being, there was no surprises at the end.
The quote was pretty much
bang on.
Which is great to hear. What is the story with the kitchen? So You went with a kitchen designer?
Yes.
Tell me.
So we went with a place called Vaughan's Kitchens, and the family have had a kitchen manufacturing company for, I'd have to ask, maybe 30 odd years anyway, right. A long, long time, because I remember them as a kid. And one of their daughters is now the kitchen designer, but she's studied it in interior design. So she does the designs, and her brother and her father do the installation and manufacture, and they have a huge team of people working for them as well. So I went to Jackie and I said, right, help, we need a kitchen.
Because obviously this is quite a large kitchen space,
yeah.
So you need to be smart about what you're doing with it in terms of layout.
And we have a curved ceiling to think about as well, so you would think about all sorts of...
So what was that conversation like? You know, I'm sure Leslie was very involved.
He wasn't involved at all, not at that stage. You came to the finishing, but only under duress. I knew what I was doing, yeah.
Well, in fairness, you actually had the design roughly in your head before you went near them, and that's... closely what it is.
It helps that we both are quite kind of visual, so you like to play around in AutoCAD from working on it, like, so anything that needed to be designed and drawn, Leslie was able to do it, sort of things like the garden walls, and I'm also quite visual as well, so I went on to Home by Me, the website that you can build out your house in 3D, so I had spent, I think, months of my life playing with that, so I had a fair idea in how things were going to work and how they were going to be laid out. I mean, and it's limited what's in a kitchen. There's a fridge and a freezer, if you want a freezer. There's a dishwasher, there's a sink, and there's a cooker. Do you know, it's...
Like what's interesting is you went with the island to the centre, but you kept it blank. There was no sink, there was no cooker, something in the middle of it.
As my father says, it's big enough to lay him out on. I kid you not. That's the first thing he said. I have mental pictures that I would prefer not to have. So I had originally put the hob in the island because I thought, okay, nice and social to be able to cook when, you know, people are here, and then COVID, of course, but anyway. And the designer advised against it for a couple of reasons. One of them was the vaulted ceiling and an extractor system. Do we end up going with the downdraft, which then means there's no cookers with gas with downdraft extractors. We'd have to go for one of the pop-up ones.
And did you want gas?
Yes. Okay. I was adamant we're having gas for cooking because it's just what we use and what we like. And... she also recommended staying away from it because of the amount of space it takes up in the island, that by the time you'd have all of the various elements of your hob in the island, you'd lose about 2/3 of the space, storage space.
Of the island itself, like, yeah.
So we just took what she suggested. She recommended we move the hob to the wall, and that was it.
Would you have any advice for people there, like, kitchens are such a big thing? Mm. Should you be going to the kitchen company with an idea in your head, or should you be going with, I don't know what I want?
It depends on the company. We found that kind of a struggle at times.
I think there's a bit of a gap in terms of the kitchen design, because a lot of the kitchen companies won't want to talk to you until you're actually...
locked in.
Until the walls are built and you're ready to actually go with them and...
Which is nearly too late.
Start getting ready for the kitchen design and then manufacture, like, which is... You should be thinking about that before you even do planning.
Because you might have one on a window or you might on a wall somewhere.
Exactly. So it should be
moved.
You're right, it should be done at planning.
There seems to be a gap there for kitchen design, that somebody could be designing kitchens. Maybe not even the same people that does the
I would recommend not to be the same manufacturer, because then you're not tied into what they're providing.
Yeah.
Because usually you might have a window to put somewhere, or maybe you want the wall to be a little bit different to change something to suit the kitchen.
Change by the time they're coming, like.
Exactly.
Even down to where you're putting sockets and wiring for various elements. Mm. Like our kitchen designer, when she sent the final plans for sign-off, they included electrical positioning, but it was too late for us because we had already gotten that done. So I had to send it back with the amended where the various bits and pieces were. It wasn't too far off, but...
It seems to be common though, because John's house was the same. Like, the kitchen drawings or installation was happening long after you were able to change sockets or anything like that.
Even just moving a door architrave a few millimetres, you know, that's easy before the door goes in.
And you went with a pantry.
Yes.
I'm sure you
I was having
that.
A pantry. It's my favourite room in the whole house. The hidden pantry. Yeah. We wanted a pantry for a number of reasons. One of them was to keep all of the food in one place, and the other one was the fact that we wanted to have no heating in it, because having lived with underfloor heating in the house that we were renting...
Sorry, what about the fact of hiding mess?
Actually, it doesn't get that messy, surprisingly enough. You can see everything. That's the big thing. Yeah. Things aren't buried in presses, and you don't have to be bending down looking for them and rooting through stuff. Everything is there in plain sight.
Love that.
And it tends to stay quite clean and tidy, actually, because of that. Yeah. You know, because there's a place for everything.
Yeah.
And it keeps the food fresher.
Did you always have the pantry in your head, or was that something that the kitchen designer brought on?
No, I always had the pantry. Okay. Yeah, the pantry was in the drawings of the house that I gave to the kitchen designer. Brilliant. It was just how we got into it was going to be down to her.
What's one thing you wish somebody had said to you before you started your build?
I think that's a funny question, because I think no matter what anybody did say or would have said to us, we wouldn't have heard it. I do think when you're at that point, you kind of have to do it yourself before you realise, oh, we should have done something else.
That's
I suppose our builder did ask us if we had an electrical plan.
Well, okay. But, I mean,
and the advice we got was, oh, there's no need, we don't do those normally. And in reality, we should have got an electrical plan.
And when you say electrical plan, you mean locations of sockets, and switches.
And lights, yeah, everything.
And you didn't do that?
No,
and what was the result of not doing that?
Extra stress.
finding light fittings to suit where the light fixtures were and working around those.
As opposed to
telling the where it was going and knowing exactly. I mean, it's hard to put everything together. I think just getting the advice from someone who's maybe thought about this a number of times and has gone through it themselves or is an expert in that area. I mean, it's just one of those things. We did a walk around, which is the traditional thing with the electrician who just sprayed stuff on the wall and, you know, things get missed. They get missed and you don't see them necessarily until it's too late as well. And just I think the advice of somebody else for that would have been quite useful.
Is there anything during the build that you would change or you would have done differently? Any like little niggly bits or something that you might have moved or?
I'd say stupid things that Anna would just think ridiculous, like, but it's all very practical.
Like what?
And the plant room is just a tiny bit too big.
Yes.
Small.
Small, yes. Yeah. Well, we actually had that bigger.
The heat recovery is about a millimetre clearance to the wall.
But that, like, yeah, I suppose we made the plant room slightly smaller to allow what we call the linen press. And that has not worked out the way we expected it to. So it was going to be where linen was going to be able to dry out of sight. But it doesn't function as we expected. So now it's a cloakroom.
Right.
But in hindsight, we should have just left the plant room.
Yes. Yeah.
Bigger.
And you went with air to water. How are you finding that?
Great.
Yeah.
No issue at all.
Are you finding that the electricity bill is quite high?
We're only, we've had 5 electricity bills, so it's kind of hard to gauge until we get the full 12 months. But so far, from what I'm seeing from other people that are talking about it, like on Instagram, we're actually on the lower side.
We were renting a house with geothermal heating, so.
We had a good idea.
You're still using electricity there, so I mean.
It's less than that.
We had.
Yeah. Oh, it is.
We weren't coming from space. We weren't coming from having a
standard
non-electric heating tea, then suddenly,
And that is something that nobody tells you when you go to get your house insurance. Air to water is classed as electric heating.
Right.
And
does that affect the price of the insurance?
No, but it's when you're filling out the form, like what heating do we have?
Oh, okay.
They don't have air to water. They have ground source, but they don't have air source heating. And when you ring up and ask, they tell you it's because of the class as electric.
And was there ever any consideration there, because you're quite close to the sea, with the air to water, would that have been a problem with the salt in the air?
No, we spoke to the plumber about that, but he actually installs these everywhere.
Quite lovely.
I think it's okay, yeah.
I haven't heard of it.
Time will tell.
No, because we did some houses that are coastal and they had to go with ground source because of that.
It's not quite exposed coastal, I suppose, so it's, you know, we're inland a little bit. We're just on the banks of the river, so I suppose it looks more coastal than it actually is.
Yeah.
But the Atlantic Ocean is about 25 minutes drive away.
I suppose, yeah. I want to ask you both, what's your favourite thing in the home? What's the one thing you love?
Changes? I don't know.
It does change, yeah. I think every so often we both look at each other and say we can't believe we're in it.
I mean, working from home here since last June has been...
Yeah.
It's just been nice, but I mean, I suppose all summer, that room there when the sun comes in is lovely, because I mean, I'm always doing exercising in one shape and another, like, so I mean the sun really comes in lovely to that room, and I was, you know, early in the morning, there's nobody else up.
That's your spot.
Not supposed to say that,
I love that.
If I get up early enough, nobody else is up.
Even in the winter, actually, I think it's this space really, isn't it? That's the way it was designed. This space is the communal space, it's where everyone gathers. So we decided we didn't want separate living space to the kitchen dining area, because everyone sits around the kitchen table.
Yeah.
So we figured if we had it here, you can just be spread out.
Yeah.
This is definitely, I think, probably the... I mean, it's kind of cliche that the kitchen is the favourite space, but it is.
It's the heart of the home.
Yeah, really. Well, this whole sort of room space is definitely our favourite, I think, out of the whole lot.
I noticed that throughout the house there's these mad, or not mad, sorry, excuse me, these lovely pieces of art everywhere.
Yeah.
Are you big into your art?
Getting bigger, I think.
Have you been collecting things over a period of time?
Yeah, we have. We're lucky enough to have a local artist as well, though. So when I was trying to figure out how to bring things into the house, I was like, here, Emma, I'm going to buy. I went up to her house and was like, I'll have that one, I'll have that one, I'll have that one. I should throw in those two as well. And then walked out fairly lively. Mm-hmm. we have had pieces, like we've been given some lovely art pieces for our wedding and that. And through various things, when we've been lucky enough that family members have gifted us some money or whatever, we try and buy something that is, we can point at it and say, well, Noreen gave us that.
Yeah.
So that's actually what we did. We were lucky that we have family who are so generous. But we got pieces that would show that we can say that person gave us this and it's part of the home, do you know? So,
yeah.
And we've always sort of looked for eclectic things anyway. So we like mixing.
Yeah,
it's a nice mixture though.
And it's the same with your furniture, that you've got a nice mix of old and new. Yeah. It's the same with your park, which is lovely.
The hill is actually a gravel hill. It was left here by a glacier. So we were the first people to ever dig into it. So it was crazy single and guilt-ridden moment for me as well. Like, oh my God, we're doing this. But we have access to gravel because it's a quarry.
Wow.
Small quarry hill. So we're very lucky that we have that and we have loads of topsoil.
And was there ever any concerns about this site in terms of that? No.
No, it's bone dry. So it's actually, if you're going to pick somewhere, it's ideal.
Yeah. I think it's really interesting to see you guys at the other end. You know, sometimes people are in the middle of a build, and I'm sure you had the same thing where it just seems like it's just going on forever, and it's never going to really finish. So it's great to see you both giggling and smiling and enjoying the space, you know. So I think that's really inspiring to other people, I suppose. What is the I suppose, you know, the thing, a part of the build that you would just never change, and I'm not asking what your favourite spice, I'm asking something more practical, if that makes sense.
Builder for me would never change, Michael.
No, I suppose if I was to build another 10 houses, I'd go with the same builder.
Yeah.
Why?
He was just...
Trustworthy
and sound, competent, and you could just work with him. Yeah.
Easy to work with, probably the easiest person to work with.
Oh yeah, there's no question. He made it. I mean, for all the problems we had along the way, in one way or the other, he made it easier because he was just good at it.
It was enjoyable to work with him. Like, it really was. I missed him for a few weeks after we moved in because we were so used to seeing him every day that it was kind of weird that he wasn't coming to the door. It was strange. Like,
that's mad. And did you have a thing at the end where, like? Like, at what point does the builder finish? What's the last job on the list?
He spread the topsoil, isn't he?
Yeah, that was it.
I mean, even snag list, he was chasing us for a snag list. We had one item on it, a few doors needed to have a bit of planing done. That was it.
Right.
That was the snag list, there was nothing else.
Well, I think that's a reflection. Reflection of Hamnick. I mean, there was a few things in the snag list, but he had more or less snagged himself before we'd.
Yeah.
He knew, yeah.
Like, he had gone, anytime anything was put in windows, he had gone around to all the windows and he actually had a timer on his phone that he gave X number of minutes to every single window.
That's right.
What does that mean?
So he'd set a timer of 3 minutes on his phone and he would look at one window for 3 minutes.
Because if you go to do a walk around and check the windows,
you miss things.
The chance is you'll actually just take a quick look and move on.
Whereas he spent 3 minutes.
He set a timer so as he knew he was actually taking the time to look at them properly.
Is that a fact?
Yes, he showed us. Yeah. And then he had us go around and look at them too. Like, he spotted things that we hadn't spotted. Various elements, things.
Well, like, I give him a big list of.
Yeah, but I mean, he had spotted some of them too, like, but you know, the other thing, you know, he had spotted things that weren't done to his liking and he had them changed.
Wow. That is very impressive.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I suppose that nearly encouraged you then to get up your game in terms of finding the snags and whatever, like it.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. Yeah. It's a great thing to be at the end of a build and to be so happy with your builder.
Yeah, well, the builder was chasing us for a snag list.
Which is great.
We didn't have to go chasing him for anything. Like, and even now, even in 2 years' time, I suspect if there was something, he'd have no issue helping us with it.
Yeah, yeah. I want to take you back. So you moved in June. Boys off school?
Not quite. One of them was off school, one of them wasn't.
Yeah, okay. Jack was the older fellow, was finished.
And you said, right, we're going to sleep there tomorrow night.
Yes.
And you moved in. And you had, what did you have for dinner? Did you have pizza or something to celebrate?
Did we even eat that day?
Right.
We probably had pizza, probably.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I broke down on moving in day. I fell apart.
Emotionally?
Physically, emotionally, I fell apart. I actually rang my mom and my aunt. My aunt was home at the time from Dublin. And I rang mom and was like, help, I can't do this. And she said, you stay down at the house and unpack the boxes we pack above at the house, above the rental. So herself and my aunt went up to the rental and we had a lot of it done anyway.
Most.
But the kitchen was sort of the last thing because you're still using it. So she and my aunt packed the kitchen and the utility and the wardrobes and moved everything down. Now we were lucky we had the wardrobes down here to move everything into, so we weren't living out of bags. But yeah, the mom just basically took over.
And okay,
I was an emotional mess.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah. It's a huge, probably one of the biggest moments in somebody's life.
Yes, and I'm also just an emotional mess generally, so it's fine. But I was just triggered. There was one thing that triggered me and that was it. I was done. I was like, I'm broken. I can't do this. I just wanted to go into a corner and cry for the whole day.
And what was it like in the morning then when you woke up? Was there a moment where you looked at each other and go like, is this really real? Was it a...
It was lovely and calm, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we moved in on a Friday and then... There was still a few small bits we had to get down from the rental.
When we went to bed that night,
it was like, right, we've done it.
It just felt calm. No, I mean, was it a Friday?
Yeah, it was a Friday, yeah.
I don't know what time I was up in that morning, starting to shift stuff and up and down the van, and it probably was 11 o'clock before I stopped.
Yeah, we were dressing our bed at 10:30. And my mum was adamant she was putting on new bed clothes. And my dad was hanging the blinds in the boys' rooms. So, yeah. It was a lovely, calm next day. And I suppose it was the Monday probably when we were both back to work that it hit us. Because we were still up and down to the rental just a few times just to get the last few bits that had to be moved down.
And so was it that moment or that conversation between you that are like...
We're still having that conversation.
I don't know. Yeah.
There was no major high, I have to say. It was just a nice feeling of, right, that's it now. We've moved on to the next phase.
I think what you're talking about, Kate, what hit me with... 2-3 months, 4 months afterward, maybe I'd have been up in the morning, the sun was shining and doing a few stretches, the Olympics was on during the summer, like, and just, you know,
we're here,
it's nice, you know.
This is your space now.
Yeah. Whereas I had this feeling from the minute we moved in that we've always been here. It was a weird, like, even the boys had said it feels like we've always been here.
Why do you think that was?
I think it's because we were up and down here so much, and we spent so much time here at the very end getting things ready, and it felt right. I mean, this is what we've been working towards.
Is this year forever home?
Well, my parents live at one side of us and my brother lives at the other, so it's never going to not be the forever home.
And so far as you can plan ahead, who knows?
You're not going to go to Donegal anytime soon.
Unlikely Donegal.
Never say never.
More likely to end up with the other side of the world than Donegal.
Yeah, I mean, it was built as the forever home. We're not planning on selling or moving, but who knows?
Yeah. Guys, that's nearly been an hour, would you believe? Which is
you
amazing.
You have a meeting in 5 minutes.
Look, I just want to say...
We'll talk about engines now.
Genuinely, I want to say thank you very much.
No,
I really appreciate your time. And it's, you know, homes are really private places. And to allow me to come in and to poke and prod and to ask all these annoying questions, I genuinely really appreciate it. If it's okay, if people want to find you on Instagram, where's the best place to look you up?
Chuck and Coustrin, the account that I missed.
Okay, I'll post that down below because I won't be able to pronounce that.
Yeah, but, it's Hutchinson House in Irish.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool. Guys, thank you so much.
No hassle. Thank you.
I really appreciate it.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns. Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack
for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.